The SSPX confirms consecration scheduled for July 1st. Our Lady of Sorrows, softener of evil hearts, pray for us sinners. I usually take Wednesdays to unplug from Vatican news for a second while I take my breath and plug back into reality, my wife and children. Yesterday was no different, especially important for me to unplug for my own sanity and spiritual health at the beginning of the great fast of Lent. I finished some other work this morning and then I finally looked at the news. I was saddened to find out that a break in sacramental communion among brothers appears inevitable now. The SSPX has officially confirmed that it will proceed with the consecrations of bishops on July 1st of this year. Let's read the whole statement, but before we do, I'd like to point out one thing. Please observe the tone of this letter. It emphasizes charity and respect with an insistence on the conscientious act that the SSPX believes it must do. Therefore, I ask all Christians to imitate the SSPX in their tone and charity, even if you disagree. Quote, okay, so I'm going to read the entire letter so that all the next words are from the SSPX. Quote, response to the General Council of the Society of St. Pius X to the Prefect of the Dicastery of the Doctrine of the Faith, Menzingen, 18th of February, 2026, Ash Wednesday. Most Reverend Eminence, first of all, I thank you for receiving me on the 12th of February and for making public the content of our meeting, which promotes perfect transparency in communication. I can only welcome the opening of a doctrinal discussion, as signaled today by the Holy See, for the simple reason that I myself proposed it exactly 7 years ago in a letter dated 17th of January, 2019. At that time, the Dicastery did not truly express interest in such a discussion on the grounds presented orally that a doctrinal agreement between the Holy See and the Society of St. Pius X was impossible. For the Society's part, a doctrinal discussion has always been and remains desirable and useful. Indeed, even if we do not reach an agreement, fraternal exchanges allow us to better know one another, to refine and deepen our own arguments, and to better understand the spirit and intentions behind our interlocutor's position, especially their genuine love for the truth, for souls, and for the church. This holds true at all times for both parties. This was precisely my intention in 2019 when I suggested a discussion during a calm and peaceful time without the pressure or threat of possible excommunication, which would have undermined free dialogue, as is unfortunately the situation today. That said, while I certainly rejoice at a new opening of dialogue and the positive response to my proposal of 2019, I cannot accept the perspective and objectives in the name of which the Dicastery offers to resume dialogue in the present situation, nor indeed the postponement of the date of July 1st. I respectfully present to you the reasons for this, to which I will add some supplementary considerations. Number one, we both know in advance that we cannot agree doctrinally, particularly regarding the fundamental orientations adopted since the Second Vatican Council. This disagreement, for the Society's part, does not stem from a mere difference of opinion, but from a genuine case of conscience arising from what has proven to be a rupture with the tradition of the Church. This complex knot has unfortunately become even more inextricable with the doctrinal and pastoral developments of recent pontificates. I therefore do not see how a joint process of dialogue could end in determining together what would constitute, quote, the minimum requirements for full communion with the Catholic Church, end quote, since, as you yourself have recalled with frankness, the text of the Council cannot be corrected, nor can the legitimacy of the liturgical reform be challenged. Number two, this dialogue is supposed to clarify the interpretation of the Second Vatican Council. But this interpretation is already clearly given in the post-conciliar period and in the successive documents of the Holy See. The Second Vatican Council is not a set of texts open to free interpretation. It has been received, developed, and applied for 60 years by successive popes according to precise doctrinal and pastoral orientations. This official reading is expressed, for example, in major texts such as Redemptor Hominis, Ut Unum Sint, Evangelii Gaudium, and Amoris Laetitia. It is also evident in the liturgical reform, understood in the light of the principles reaffirmed in Traditionis Custodis. All these documents show that the doctrinal and pastoral framework within which the Holy See intends to situate any discussion has already been firmly established. Number three, one cannot ignore the context of the dialogue proposed today. We have been waiting for 7 years for a favorable response to the proposal of doctrinal discussion made in 2019. More recently, we have written twice to the Holy Father, first to request an audience, then to clearly and respectfully explain our needs and the real-life situation of the society. Yet after a long silence, it is only when episcopal consecrations are mentioned that an offer to resume dialogue is made, which thus seems dilatory and conditional. Indeed, the hand extended to open the dialogue is unfortunately accompanied by another hand already poised to impose sanctions. There is talk of breaking of communion, of schism, and of serious consequences. Footnote from the Society. The Society, however, defends itself against any accusation of schism and, relying on old traditional theology and the Church's constant teaching, maintains that an episcopal consecration not authorized by the Holy See does not constitute a rupture of communion, provided it is not accompanied by a schismatic intent or the conferral of jurisdiction. End quote from the footnote, continuing from the main text of the SSPX. Moreover, this threat is now public, creating pressure that is hardly compatible with genuine desire for fraternal exchanges and constructive dialogue. Number four. Furthermore, to us, it does not seem possible to enter into a dialogue to define what the minimum requirements for ecclesial communion might be, simply because this task does not belong to us. Throughout the centuries, the criteria for belonging to the Church have been established and defined by the Magisterium. What must be believed in order to be Catholic has always been taught with authority, in constant fidelity to tradition. Thus, we do not see how these criteria could be the subject of a joint discernment through dialogue, nor how they could be reevaluated today so as not to correspond to what the tradition of the Church has always taught, and which we desire to observe faithfully in our place. Number five, finally, if a dialogue is envisioned with the aim of producing a doctrinal statement that the Society could accept regarding the Second Vatican Council, we cannot ignore the historical precedents of efforts made in this direction. I draw your attention to the most recent. The Holy See and the Society had a long course of dialogue, beginning in 2009, particularly intense for 2 years, and then pursued more sporadically until the 6th of June, 2017. Throughout these years, we sought to achieve what the Dicastery now proposes. Yet eventually, everything ultimately ended in a drastic manner with a unilateral decision of Cardinal Muller, the prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, who in June 2017 solemnly established in his own way the minimum requirements for full communion with the Catholic Church, explicitly including the entire council and the post-conciliar period. This shows that if one persists in a doctrinal dialogue that is too forced and lacks sufficient serenity in the long term, instead of achieving a satisfactory result, one only worsens the situation. Thus, in the shared recognition that we cannot find agreement on doctrine, it seems to me that the only point on which we can agree is that of charity towards souls and toward the Church. As a cardinal and bishop, you are above all a pastor. Allow me to address you in this capacity. The Society is an objective reality. It exists. That is why, over the years, the sovereign pontiffs have taken note of this existence and, through concrete and significant acts, have recognized the value of the good it can accomplish despite its canonical situation. That is also why we are speaking today. This same Society asks you only to be allowed to continue to do this same good for the souls to whom it administers the holy sacraments. It asks nothing else of you, no privileges, nor even canonical regularization, which in the current state of affairs is impracticable due to doctrinal divergences. The Society cannot abandon souls. The need for the sacraments is a concrete, short-term need for the survival of tradition in service of the Holy Catholic Church. We can agree on one point. Neither of us wishes to reopen wounds. I will not repeat here all that we have already expressed in the letter addressed to Pope Leo XIV, of which you have direct knowledge. I only emphasize that, in the present situation, the only truly viable path is that of charity. Over the last decade, Pope Francis and yourself have abundantly advocated listening and understanding of non-standard, complex, exceptional, and particular situations, You've also wished for us. You have also wished for a use of law that is always pastoral, flexible, and reasonable, without pretending to resolve everything through legal automatism and pre-established frameworks. At this moment, the society asks you nothing more than this. And above all, it does not ask it for itself. It asks it for these souls, for whom, as already promised to the Holy Father, it has no other intention than to make true children of the Roman Church. Finally, there is another point on which we also agree, and which should encourage us. The time separating us from the 1st of July is one of prayer. It is a moment when we implore from heaven a special grace and from the Holy See understanding. I pray for you in particular to the Holy Ghost, and do not take this as a provocation, His most holy spouse, the mediatrix of all graces. I wish to thank you sincerely for the attention you have given me and for the interest you will kindly take in the present matter. Please accept, most reverend eminence, the expression of my most sincere greetings and of my devotion in the Lord. David Bajliliari, Superior General, Alphonse de la Garate, First Ascensus General, Christian Bouchercourt, Second Ascensus General, Bishop Bernard Fillet, First Consular General, former Superior General, and Franz Schmidberger, Second Consular General, former Superior General. And then in the text, there are the letters to the Superior General to the Holy See in 2019, a defense of the SSPX against the accusation of schism, and then the letter from Cardinal Mueller to Bishop Fillet from 2019 that was referenced. End quote from the SSPX. So that was the official statement of the SSPX. So, first of all, let's note the fact that the SSPX believes in dialogue in the true sense, like Socratic dialogue, where brothers meet and exchange views and attempt to pursue truth together. This true form of dialogue should not be despised, but should be pursued. And the SSPX seems to be certainly in favor of true dialogue in principle. But the SSPX calls the Holy See to put into practice its slogans of listening and accompaniment also with the SSPX. However, they also seem to say that such a dialogue is pointless, since there seems to be no agreement in sight. I'm saddened by this view in the SSPX statement, since we do have a new pope. Is it really necessary to push forward the consecrations when the dialogue has not really begun under the new Holy Father? On the other hand, one can see where the SSPX is coming from as well. They've tried this before several times. They seem to be faced with a situation where they are not being treated with the dignity of priests or even brothers. This is a very sad situation, and we need to draw close to Our Lady of Sorrows right now. We all need to pray and do penance and ask for the Holy Spirit to prevent any sins against charity or truth by the popes, bishops, or priests, and all the lay people talking about this painful, complicated issue. Please pray for me as I attempt to do what I can as the editor of 1 Peter 5 to follow our editorial mission, unite the clans to rebuild Christendom. Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us.